All right, so my talk is entitled The Effects of Current and Future Soybean Aphid Management Tactics on Soybean Aphids and Their Natural Enemies in Illinois in 2007 and 2008. And I'd like to start out by saying this is part of a larger study taken on by the North Central Soybean Research Program examining soybean aphids and host plant resistance. So the soybean aphid was discovered in America and Wisconsin in 2000 as an exotic pest of soybean. Since that time, it has become the most significant insect pest of soybean in the northern United States and parts of southern Canada. And it can cause significant yield loss when left at high densities untreated. Most soybean growers typically use foliar-applied insecticide applications to manage soybean aphids when they reach an economic threshold of 250 aphids per plant. However, two new management strategies may be attractive to soybean growers because of their ease of use. And these include insecticidal seed treatments, which are neonicotinoids, and also host plant resistance. However, we know very little about how these new management strategies will affect the natural enemies of soybean aphids. So a bit of a background about the life cycle of the soybean aphid. It overwinters on buckthorn as eggs. And in the spring, as temperatures warm, it hatches and goes through one or two generations before producing a lati and dispersing to soybean, which is the secondary host. On soybean, it undergoes viviparous parthenogenesis. It can grow to great numbers, can go through approximately 15 generations. And this is where it causes the yield loss in soybean. It can reduce branching, pod set, seed set, as well as seed weight. In the fall, as host plant quality deteriorates, the soybean aphids again produce a lati that disperse back to their overwintering host, which is buckthorn, where they undergo sexual reproduction and lay their eggs. When we talk about natural enemies of soybean aphids in Illinois, what we're really talking about are foliar foraging generalist predators, and these include species in the genus Aureus, as well as ladybird beetles, syrphid flies, and lacewings. So the objectives of this study were twofold. One was to evaluate the effectiveness of an insecticidal seed treatment and host plant resistance to manage the soybean aphids in Illinois. And the second was to see how these new management strategies affected the soybean aphids' interaction with its natural enemies. So our experimental design was a split plot, randomized complete block design with four replications. We had four treatments. We used a resistant variety developed at the University of Illinois. And this mode of resistance is the RAG1 gene, which is an antibiosis resistance. We also used its susceptible isoline. We used a commercial variety that any grower could purchase and grow in his fields. And we treated that variety with an insecticidal seed treatment. Plots were divided in half, and one subplot of each treatment received foliar-applied insecticides repeatedly throughout the growing season. And this was to prevent aphid establishment so that we would have an aphid-free control for yield comparisons at the end of the year. These subplots were 12 rows wide and 15 meters long and separated by 4 rows of buffer. We also did an exclusion cage sub-experiment in the plots that did not have foliar insecticide applications. And the reason we did this was to see how soybean aphids soybean aphid populations grew in Illinois in the presence and absence of natural enemies. So we caged two plants in each subplot without foliar insecticide applications, and we also marked two plants as control plants. We also used sticky traps each week to monitor the densities of natural enemies in these plots, and we analyzed the data using SAS 9.1. So I wanted to show you an example of the cage style that we use. This is constructed out of PVC pipe, a single plant in there, and fine mesh netting. In the background here, you can kind of see that there is a sticky trap, which we analyzed in the lab, but they were posted on steel posts there. And those were collected weekly again. So looking at some of the data here, we'll get right into it. These are the soybean aphid densities in mean number of soybean aphids per plant here in 2007. As you can see, we really didn't have significantly high numbers of aphids until August. And what we see here is we have this peak on 8 August. And the main thing I want to draw your attention to is that when we have this commercial variety with an insecticidal seed treatment, It has fewer soybean aphids per plant than its untreated counterpart. Another thing I'd like you to notice is that the resistant variety had significantly fewer soybean aphids per plant than its susceptible counterpart. After 8 August, we experienced a crash, and we know that this had a lot to do with weather. We had some heavy rains and also some high temperatures, which aphids are susceptible to. But we also think that natural enemies played a role in this, in keeping these aphid numbers down here later in the season. And we'll show you some evidence of that as we go along. In 2008, we had a very different pattern of aphid infestation. We had a much later growth in aphids. And I want to kind of draw your attention to the fact that on these later dates, when aphids started to get economically important, we never really saw a significant difference in the number of aphids between the variety treated with the insecticidal seed treatment and its untreated counterpart. However, we did see a significant lower number of soybean aphids per plant on the resistant variety when compared to the susceptible variety on each of these dates when aphids were very high. Now I introduced these hash bars here, and what they represent is the adjacent treatment only treated with foliar applied insecticide applications repeatedly throughout the year. So essentially the dash bars represent the adjacent treatment only kept aphid free. And one thing to notice here is that even though we applied foliar applied insecticide applications repeatedly throughout the year, there was only two instances where we saw a lower number of soybean or no, a lower yield in those untreated varieties. And that kind of goes to the point that we really didn't have a very prolonged aphid infestation in 2007. But the main thing to compare here is the insecticidal seed treatment variety with its untreated counterpart. The insecticidal seed treatment failed to provide a yield benefit. We see the same trend when we look at the resistant variety versus susceptible variety. The resistant variety failed to provide a yield benefit in 2007. In 2008, when we look at the foliar applied insecticide applications, we see more of a yield benefit given to those treatments. And that just simply means that we had a more prolonged soybean aphid infestation in 2008. But again, we see the same trend where the insecticidal seed treatment failed to provide a yield benefit over its untreated counterpart, and the resistant variety failed to provide a yield benefit over its susceptible counterpart. Now, when we switch gears and look at the densities of soybean aphids on caged and control plants in 2007, what we see here is we see the same peak on 8 August as we saw in the subplots, but after the crash, what we see is that a resurgence in these densities of soybean aphids on cages. And we didn't really see that in the open air control plants that were exposed to predators. And this kind of gives us our evidence that these natural enemies are important in Illinois at keeping these soybean aphids at low densities. In 2008, however, we really didn't see the same trend until maybe the last sampling date. These soybean aphids on caged and control plants were about equal throughout most of the growing season. And this kind of gets to the point that the soybean aphid infestation was very late in 2008, and we think that natural enemies really didn't have a chance to build up and impact these soybean aphid populations as the season went on. I mean, these plants here are approaching R7, and their leaves are getting ready to fall off. Okay, now I only show you the densities of Aureus insidiosus because it was the most abundant predator in our sticky traps. And if we look here in 2007, we rarely see a difference in the number of Aureus per sticky trap between the variety with the insecticidal seed treatment versus the untreated variety, as well as the resistant variety versus the susceptible variety. And it's kind of hard to distinguish between these lines here, and that really brings the point to bear that no matter which treatment we used, we had about the same number of Aureus per sticky trap. What I want you to know before I switch slides here, what I want you to notice here is this y-axis. Notice we get almost up to 120 Aureus per sticky trap in 2007. However, in 2008, we never really climbed above 12. And the reason for this is probably that the soybean aphid infestation was so late that the densities of Aureus had kind of declined before they were able to respond to those high numbers here late in this season. But we see the same trend of not really a difference between the number of aureus per sticky trap between the insecticidal seed treatment and its untreated counterpart, or the resistant variety and its susceptible counterpart. So in summary, some conclusions we can take away from this study is that using an insecticidal seed treatment or host plant resistance can really be an effective tactic for managing soybean aphids and lowering their densities. However, what we also saw was that reducing soybean aphid densities does not always provide a yield benefit. And this is important to remember when you start to do some cost benefit analysis. The data we gathered do not support a pronounced negative effect on soybean aphid densities, on densities of natural enemies in plots with an insecticidal seed treatment or host plant resistance. And this leads us to believe, at least initially, that insecticidal seed treatments and host plant resistance may be compatible with the suppression of soybean aphids conferred by natural enemies in the field. And with that, I'd like to thank my committee and everyone who worked on the project, as well as my funding sources, the Illinois Soybean Association and the North Central Soybean Research Program. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yeah. No, we haven't done any of that work as far as doing any regression analysis. The way we prevented the yield loss in those foliar insecticide applications plots were just by applying a foliar applied insecticide whenever we noticed that aphids were starting to build up. And so those plots weren't exactly aphid free. There were some aphids on there. So no, we haven't done that work.